All right, welcome everybody. Listen, first of all, I could listen to that intro all day because I feel like Dragunov from NXT, like every time. But anyway, welcome back everybody to the UPR Presents All Elite Dynamite Review. I am your new host. I have a new partner as well, but this is nothing new. The Alpha and Omega of Wrestling Talk are once again combined. We are the Mega Powers, the Thanos, the Dark Side, whatever you want, the Optimus Prime, and whatever the other dude was. I can't do it. I'm messing it Ultra up right Magnus. Now. But Ultra Magnus. That's who it is. I don't know either one of them. So you can have either one of them that you want. But my guy, my co-host for the evening, Mr. Mike Knox. How are you this evening, my brother? Even though I've been talking to you all night.
It's late. We watched AEW together. I'm sorry, it's 10 o'clock, brother, on a Wednesday, okay?
Well, 10 o'clock on a Wednesday is definitely late.
It's snowfall time, okay? But AEW. I'm actually excited to talk AEW. It was, you know, we discuss it. I'm here to discuss it.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is AEW Dynamite Review. I am your host, Zia Silent, aka the Almighty Dice Man, aka Big Champ in the chat. This is weird because I don't have an AEW belt to put over my shoulder and slap you and let you know, Big Champ in the chat, but I am what I am. And of course, everybody's favorite, yo mama's favorite daddy. All right, now let's go ahead and get into it. We're gonna get right into it. So AEW started off pretty strong. They started off really, really strong. We got started off with Swerve versus Darby Allin going into this. And we were just talking on the phone earlier today about the direction of Swerve and how we were pretty much dissatisfied with what they've been doing with Swerve.
It's been a dumpster fire.
It's definitely been kind of trash. I'm not going to lie. I actually did like his character during this match. I liked it a lot. But I thought this was more so putting Darby in a better position to solidify his feud with MJF along with all the other pillars. But this definitely did make Darby look tough. It did make Swerve look more like a chicken shit heel that he is being. But I thought it worked good for both guys. I thought the spot where he took his boot off was really weird, but I felt like it fit his character. It fit his character a lot because, Darby is gritty. He's going to do whatever he got to do to get the win legally until he's pushed to get it illegally. I thought it was, everything was good. The only thing that I did not like was the fact that, like, Swerve didn't need the help, and I hate that. Like I he's good enough to beat Darby by himself. Don't make him look weak by having people come in and help him. I just didn't like that part of it. But everything else, I dug this match. Mike, your takes on this match.
I was writing down notes in this. First, everybody, what about Brian Cage? He's coming to WWE. No, he's not. He's on AEW. as we talked about earlier, we already mentioned that. Swerve, I like Swerve. And let's keep it a buck. Let's keep it a beam in case EC's watching. That's what I do. Okay? I cheer for every black wrestler. At least I try. I try. Like, I like Swerve. I just, certain gimmicks don't work in certain places. And to me, what's going on with some of the characters in AEW, like, I love what Darby Allin did. I mean, he took the loss in this match, but you're saying it's supposed to be to put him over more, which after the match, we'll talk about that in a second, it kind of does. But Swerve wins this match, but I think Tony's giving these guys too much control of their own character. Tony, don't. I mean, you do. You do. Like, this man's coming out in a ski mask in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I was like, what is that? Like, what is going on right
mask?
Now?
Like, you're going to ski mask it, you know, but it's a
bedazzled mask out or some shit, you know? Like, bedazzle that shit the fuck out. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
What's the thing? You know what I'm saying? Something that's all hairy and fuzzy and, like, it's supposed to be comfortable. Am I watching Monsters, Inc.? Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, but I like him.
That mother, like, he should have ran a lint trap through that mother.
The match was great, though. It was a great opening start to the night. And then, Coop, you mentioned already, that taking off his shoe, biting him, biting his foot segment, that was nasty. But that fits Darby Allin's character. He would do anything, put his own body and hurt your body to get the win. So I thought that was a great way to open up this program, especially what happens after that. I'll let you get into that. But I did think the match was really, really good. Swerve for the victory. That move he does when they're outside the ring with their feet hanging, he does the coup de grace to the outside. Crazy.
Yeah.
He could have it 1 foot on him, too. He could really hurt his ankle there, but he didn't. So I'm glad he came out unscathed.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, he got the dub. It made him look strong. But the post-match is what made everything in this so much more Michael Smith, what's going on? So much more enjoyable for me, selfishly, because I got my favorite wrestler in Sting to come out. And basically, I mean, he says everything that Darby can say, but MJF ain't gonna talk that. He's not talking that to Sting. Notice he got sunned. He got humbled, because you're just not gonna. Even though Sting isn't the greatest talker on the microphone, and I can admit that we've had these discussions. Actually, I was when we were doing a draft last year during the. When we're doing the draft of the Boston Glow episode of the top 10 overall, what we would do ever, I even said that Sting was never a great talker. However, if you put him with the right people, he can outtalk anybody as long as he stays in the parameter of the topic. So I thought this was definitely a Sting lane, and MJF knew it, and he could not. He can talk all that to everybody else, but when it comes to the icon Sting, he got sunned. And I mean, think about it. If Darby was to put his arm around MJF, MJF was going to have it. If anybody else on that roster would do that, MJF wasn't having it. But Sting did it. MJF did nothing. He just put his head down, little frightened dog look, and it was what it was. But I think that the fact that MJF is coming out at every one of these Pillars matches, at the end of it, beginning of it, and basically telling them how they still don't deserve a match with him or what he did to them beforehand, honestly, it's getting a little old for me. I get it. But why does MJF not wrestle? This is something okay, before you go, this is something that irritates me, because he hasn't earned it. He's not a Roman Reigns. He's not a Brock Lesnar. So at what point does he, how many title defenses he had? Two title defenses. They're trying to stretch his reign to make it look like it's super important, and it's been okay. Or as MJF would say, mid! It's been some mid. Almost Reggie type. Go ahead, my brother.
Wow. You said, hey, DJ. Well, fuck you too, Scott. like hey, two people sitting here talking. First of all, let me just back up off your fandom.
We got you with the Tony face again. Please stay tuned. We're going to say some more outlandish shit about Coke Boy Tony.
So... let me just educate you on the actual factuals and the matter of factuals of this segment, because Sting didn't save this segment. Sting saved Darby Allin from this segment, because MJF, Mr. Freeman, was doing what he does best in that ring, and that's give every single one of them other pillars a tongue lashing. No one in this company can hang. Well, not in this company. I'm gonna say that other pillars can hang with MJF. So Sting had to come out and do something. Maybe he had to come out. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But I say this much for MJF. He kills it every time. That suit was fire. The belt is fire. And why does he get that time off? Because he's the highest paid person in the company, I'm assuming. You know what I mean? He does his segments do generate the most. I get it. Why doesn't he wrestle? I don't know. But I don't think I mind that he doesn't wrestle necessarily. Like, I've never been a big fan or a component of, oh, these guys are this. No, if the story calls for it, then okay. If the story doesn't call for it, then I'm fine. I didn't think the story called for him necessarily to be wrestling every week. So I'm okay with him not wrestling, but he doesn't get in that square circle, let fans know that, you know, even when he called himself the GOAT today, he said he's going to go down as the greatest of all time. And he said, I'm going to go down as the greatest of all time. So that's different than saying that he's the GOAT. So to go down in history as the greatest of all time, I give him that.
I just hate the fact that like all of his potential opponents have to wrestle every week in some capacity, and he does not. I don't like that at all. I don't like it at all, but I get it. It's fine, but at the same time, what are you going to do? So, yeah, I was going to switch that, but I was about to make another slide thingy, but cool. You're good. Cool. You're my backup. I like that. So the next round, the funny thing is, as this night was getting underway, and I noticed, I was thinking to myself, I was like, damn, I don't remember the last time I seen Powerhouse Hobbs. And then the next thing you know, we get Powerhouse. I'm like, oh, cool, bet. Like, we get my guy. Silas Young, wasn't he in NXT before? Did he still have the same name? If I'm not mistaken. Okay, he squashed him. This is the weakest I've ever seen him look. Not saying I've seen a lot of Silas Young, but he's been, you know, marked to be a pretty tough dude, and Powerhouse just made mincemeat of him. But I don't even
Him and the Blade do hold that, where he's that powerhouse of them, the anvil. I think that's where everybody always compares that powerhouse in wrestling, that anvil, mm-hmm. that's, you know, kind of guy, the British Bulldog kind of guy of the tag team. And Hobbs mm-hmm. definitely just ran. Like, because remember, I came back and said, what did I miss? That's how I went in the room to get my medicine and came back, and they were off the screen. So mm-hmm. I didn't even see this segment at all.
Oh, no, he squashed him. It was, man, he. This match was more so about what happened post match.
Okay.
And that was Wardlow. This car that he had, it was like some NWO type shit. Like, he just busted up his car. But he didn't do it the way that they would have done it in the 90s. He had trouble. He had trouble with the lead pipe trying to bust open my man's car. But this was more so about letting you know that Wardlow is back. That rivalry with them is still on, and is back on, so to say, because they Powerhouse hasn't had a viable opponent since he's beaten Wardlow for that title. I mean, beaten Wardlow for that, because he technically didn't, but you know,
triple threat match.
Right? Yeah, triple threat match. So what are you going to do? But I think it, Wardlow looked strong. Wardlow looked like he was healthy. He was in good shape. He looked like he might have dropped a few pounds, so I'm definitely looking for a one-on-one with these two guys, and if it does happen, it does happen very soon. I got Powerhouse to go over Wardlow. I think Wardlow's had his nice run for a year and a half. It's time for everybody to recognize the Book of Hobbs.
Well, you know, you turned me on to Brian Powerhouse Hobbs. Wasn't the biggest fan of his at first. Huge mark for him now. I will say this much, though, when it comes to Wardlow, they had the hottest push for him and just faltered. It just mm-hmm. failed. I don't know how, why, when you can get it back, but he should be a bigger star, a bigger deal than what he is. You cannot be the guy that MJF brought in, and now you're where he's at. So hopefully they get him back to that main event, at least close to main event status that he was. Fans like him. That crowd likes anybody, except for Jay White last week when he came back out, but that was last week. Yeah, Salamaster, how do you say his damn name? Salamaster, whoever quoted that guy and said that they had a huge pop. I'm a Jay White mark. That crowd was dead. And somebody came back tonight that had a bigger pop than him, and I'll just let y'all do that with it. But I do have hopes for that they do something with Wardlow again. I really do. Wardlow's too damn good to be in the back, whatever if he's injury, whatever case, maybe they got to figure out how to get him back on track. And such a big pop, where was he at this week? I'm just saying.
Next up, we had, this was a beautiful, beautiful match. Definitely match of the night for me.
Over Darby and Swerve?
I think so.
That match was
And that's hard for me to say. And that's basically I'm basically for those watching, I am literally looking at Bleacher Report's article so that I can just pick apart the images. That's all I want. But just to get a sense of, and shout out to Bleacher Report, just to get a sense of where they're at and what they gave this. They gave Swerve and Darby Allin a B+. They gave Orange Cassidy and Buddy Matthews a A. And that can go either way that you look at how you like to watch your wrestling. Some people like high spots. Some people like storytelling. Some people like technicality. Some people like high flying. It's whatever appeases you.
You heard what Brett said about that high flying shit.
No, listen, Brett is grumpy. He is still this motherfucker is still mad at Goldberg. So he's mad at everything. The motherfucker wakes up, he's mad at breakfast. He wakes up mad. Like the man apologized. The man apologized. Ain't like he did it maliciously. You think he did it maliciously? Because we seen that clip thousands and thousands and hundreds of times.
That was definitely a mistake. Like Sting forgave
Seth Rollins, and it took. And I at that moment I hated Seth Rollins, but if Sting said he forgave him, who the hell am I to hold a grudge against somebody? It's not even against me. It doesn't make any sense. But I thought this match was really good. I think Buddy Matthews. This is probably one of the best singles matches I've seen from him since his time in AEW. I think that he is a budding star. That is parting the, what do they call that? Metaphor, simile, whatever. Onomatopoeia, something that has to do with English. What is onomatopoeia? I don't even know what onomatopoeia is. I don't even remember. I just hated spelling that shit. I just think that Julia Hart on the outside playing the mind games with Orange Cassidy. I see what they're trying to do with Julia. I just don't believe it. I'm really mad that they really let her go over Anna Jay last Friday. But Anna Jay hasn't had a one-on-one match since that bloodbath that she had like last January. So that was really surprising. And I didn't even know that. But Orange Cassidy, for some reason, like he doesn't show like. It depends on who his opponent is. Like he can show you some real technicality. Like, damn, he can actually wrestle. And then other times he'd be like with the most serious people. He'd just be doing the goofiest shit, but it gets over, right? Like, and I like the fake out that he had when Buddy kicked him, and he just like he was about to pass out, and he faked Buddy out, and he fell to the mat, and Buddy felt that he fell, and then he ran to the ropes, and then Orange Cassidy tries to get up to give him an orange punch, and he holds on. They literally just play tit for tat with each other, faking each other out, and to end that match on that quick swerve of them just trying to outthink and outduel each other, I thought that was great. I thought it was a great win because it keeps Buddy strong. To take a loss like that, it's not a bad thing. You were that close. He said on the camera, I was that close. Some losses you got to take.
Can't win them all.
Can't win them all. Unless you're Roman Reigns. And even then, listen, some people said on the internet, he might go until it's like 2028, 2026.
I saw some post that had him and Cody.
Yeah. your thoughts on this match here?
No, it was a really good match. I wasn't sure if Cassidy was hurt or not for real. Until I realized
I'm starting to feel like he is.
It was a producer, not medical staff that came out. So we'll find out later if he was really hurt or not. It was a really good match. I like Orange Cassidy. I just, you know, this is what's unique about AEW is that they're not trying to be somebody else. We as fans compare them to the Juggernaut, right? But they're in their own lane, and he's in his lane where it fits their audience and what they're trying to get across. And it took a while. I hated it at first when he put his hands in his pocket and went, woo. I'm like, what the fuck is this dumb shit?
It does right? take a while to get used to. But
once you start watching it, and you get, you're like, even him taking the belt out of the bag. Now, let's be real.
That's funny. That's some funny shit.
But if that was somebody from a different federation doing that, they'd go, that's disrespectful to the title. They don't even carry it.
Remember when Roman used to hang the title behind his back?
He was getting mad. I wore my title. Sorry, Roman.
That's so cool.
Right?
That's so cool.
I was around my strap. You know what I mean? So, it's his title. It's his character. It fits him. But the match in itself, like I said, the fake out with not a fake out, it was a really good match. I wouldn't call it match of the night for me because I do like the way Swerve and Darby Allin. I like watching Darby Allin get beat the fuck up. So any Darby Allin match, it's just, this dude's insane to me. So very good match. Again, it was after the match and things later on that came that make that match what it was too. But for me, I'm still going with Darby and Swerve for match of the night.
After those two matches, you really don't have much to even compare to it.
No, you have.
Sadly, not even the main event.
First of all, are you going to talk about that now or later?
No.
It's like an hour later. It should have melted away.
No. Next, we get a promo from Ethan Page and the Firm. Like I said last week, the Firm has something, and I love what they have, but literally they are becoming a laughing stock of a faction. Very symbolistic of the precious Dark Order, in which they fumbled the ball, they dropped the bag, rest in peace, John Huber, when Mr. Brody Lee died. What they should have did, in my opinion, they should have gave the control to Adam Page, or they should have gave it to Anna Jay. Those were the two most other popular guys or gals in the Dark Order. And Anna Jay was loved. They love Anna Jay. She had a following. They listened to her. The crowd listened to her. Everybody in the Dark Order listened to her. So I thought that you could have just had her be like a dark ring leader for them. Or you could have just had Adam Page, one foot in, one foot out, you know, take over as a respect thing. But this, the Firm is it just.
I personally hate him. And I it's love this, Ethan Page. I think it's the guy you have on the screen next to Ethan Page to me.
Yeah.
Personally.
Malcolm Bivens.
People think he does. I don't know. It just doesn't click with me. I love Prince Nana. I wish he was back in Ring of Honor area. I think, again, it's about the audiences. In certain audiences, things are better in different platforms, right? And to me, what the Firm is trying to accomplish, this is an overkill of factions in AEW is the problem also. So you don't know who to
are you not to. Are you not a fan of guerrilla warfare? And because I love the different factions.
I love faction war. We talk about it all the time, gang warfare. I love it. It's not that. It's make a faction has to make sense, and a faction has to have some continuity to it, right? So let's just go back. And I don't like to cross over, but I'm going to do it in this case. The Disciples of Apocalypse, right? You may not have been a fan of them or like them, but they stay consistent on those motorcycles. They stay consistent on how they beat you up. Right, the Firm, you don't know if they're coming or going, who's in there, who's not. It's too many people. Like it was MJF's group, and then it wasn't his group. It doesn't make, and then they didn't go after him. It's just it's storytelling within their faction that makes me go, am I supposed to pay attention? So when Ethan Page, who's an amazing talent to me, is out there talking, I kind of go, okay, what's going to happen? And then we saw what happened. What got that segment over? It wasn't him. It was the biggest pop of the last 3 weeks, not named Adam Cole, baby. And that was freaking Jeff Hardy coming back. That was the biggest pop of the night. You know, it wasn't Switchblade, which, again, Salamaster, you're full of shit. That crowd was dead because they brought him out there with no kind of introduction or anything. He just ran out without a shirt on. Ooh, there he is. That was horrible for his seriously, that was horrible for him. And not him. And I like Jay White. They did him a disservice. And for Jeff Hardy to have saved this segment, well, how does that speak for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's so crazy that that's what it took, right? And like, he literally is like, I don't know, like he just sat there, like everything, like. The pop was, but look at the crowd going crazy. The crowd is literally going crazy right now. And I'm going to stop that because I don't want to get no trouble. But the crowd literally went crazy. I don't even think they could have seen that because it was, you know, everything it was conformed. You know what I'm saying? That meme. Got to think outside the box. But that pop was crazy. The crowd went nut job over that. And Jay White, he should not have took his shirt off, but he definitely looked like somebody's drunk uncle. I'm sorry, too soon, but he definitely did. I mean, he looked healthy, but he definitely looked like he was, you know, how people go to rehab and something.
You ever see that guy come back you don't care about? like we all
like love Jeff Hardy. Like Mustafa Ali when he comes back 8 times out of 1 year and nobody gives a hot shit.
I'm watching Jeff Hardy on the screen come back and I'm like, oh, Jeff Hardy.
No, listen, we were playing a game and I'm like, huh. I wasn't disappointed. I was shocked, but I wasn't like,
I'm just like,
Jeff Hardy. I'm just like, I wasn't expecting that. Like, that's a nice move.
Jeff Hardy, they need somebody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to say it. You know what I mean? Because I don't think I'm expressing it correctly, but it's like.
No, I think we're in the same wavelength. We just can't put it into words. I just looked like, shit, Jeff Hardy's back. All right, nice. But like I wasn't gonna lose my shit and just go bonkers out this motherfucker.
That's your girl. My wife got their thongs on. It don't even matter. Y'all gonna be there tonight.
What?
Getting Team Extreme.
What? What?
Bring back out the
old. Oh my God.
More people cheer for Jeff than Switch, but because they know Jeff. So here's
that's the problem.
Here's the thing, Tony, and I'm going to say it, okay? Here's your problem, all right? Your problem is that you have all this talent, and you just don't know what to do with them. You don't. You have no idea what to do with them, right? Because you have to like, I remember arguing on my show, the Mike Knox Show, every Monday, 6 p.m. I said, when you watch this, I said, they're going to bring these guys back at WrestleMania. Why would they bring out Switchblade at WrestleMania? Why would they bring out, you know, it's WrestleMania, Brian Cage at WrestleMania. They don't know them. You have to introduce them. You don't bring, and I get Switchblade had made an appearance here before because of New Japan and the things they had with them. But you have to come out there and you have to announce that he's coming back. Like, so, or he's coming there. It to be a surprise and just run out like that, I thought they dropped the ball with that. And they owe him more for that. So to me, when Jeff came back, that's a surprise. Like, oh, snap, because we knew the music. The music hit. We knew it when we heard it. When Switchblade came out, he just ran out in his damn tight-ass jeans. Like it's 1997 again, he's part of the NWO.
They let him go out. First of all, they let him go out too soon. Because he should have not went out that soon, like when the crowd is still cheering for
something else.
Ricky Starks.
Right.
The Pebble. Like, they literally got super quiet because y'all just interrupted one of the highest baby faces that they have there in his entrance. So why would they switch and try to, you know, like that's the only thing that I care about. I don't care about Ricky's moves. I just care about the entrance. That's it.
That's all.
That's it. And I'm good.
The Pebble can continue to be the Pebble. Funniest thing I've ever heard in my life, MJF. I'm sorry, listen. I know you don't like MJF, and I know that sometimes I think he goes too far. And if he was in a different company, he couldn't do the things that he does. But I love the fact he's in character 24-13, okay? But damn, okay? When he called that man the Pebble. Like, and you say, every single time he talks about the pillars, he rips them. He said, you know, do you remember before? He said two words. Headlock takeover. Like, they let you beat, they let him beat you with a headlock takeover. It's kind of hard to come from that. Jack Perry's name is Jungle Boy. That doesn't scream, I mean, just being honest.
Champion.
Does it, Jungle Boy? No. What's intriguing is watching Luchasaurus in the back with Christian in this red smoke door and whatever the hell he got coming up next. That's what's amazing.
Okay. I am super intrigued with that. I am very intrigued with that.
He said, 5-7 words total in 2 weeks, and I'm intrigued by what the hell.
Yep, and I'm going ape shit over it. Like, I don't understand why, but I'm going ape shit.
When he was there last week and he came out and hit there, I'm like, just I said, okay, I get it. Edge came back with the Brood. He was part of the Brood too. He can kind of do it himself. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit, Luchasaurus with this big old shoulder pat. Oh okay. Where is this going? Right, because last time we saw Christian Cage, he was getting buried alive, or whatever they call that match. Okay, but it was a decent show. But even is this the Omega segment at this point?
Where are we at right now?
Okay.
First of all,
isn't that match okay?
Yeah. Listen, what they're doing with the BCC, they are just like they're just feeding BCC anybody they want.
Make them bleed.
Like, I don't even who Brandon Cutler and Michael Nakazawa or whatever. What?
Why is he in the ring wrestling? Ain't that the guy with the spray?
Yes, I thought so. Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Like what? What is going on, man?
You booked this shit, Tony. You booked this shit. Don't get mad at us. Pass the cocaine. Pass.
I'm not going to stand for this shit anymore.
Anymore. What do you mean?
Listen, this was squash. We already knew it was going to be squash. Until we get the Elite versus BCC, the only thing that matters is that. I love the tease of it. I love the fact that Kenny came back. You knew he wasn't coming alone. But the funny thing is, I expected something else because Kenny had already did a video package like two segments before that. So I'm like, oh well, he's definitely not coming now. Yeah. So I thought that I do believe that there is a legitimate injury with, who was it, Matt, I guess. Mm-hmm. I do believe that's a legitimate injury, but a partially torn tricep. A partially torn tricep isn't as bad as what Cody had when he tore it completely off the bone. So he can work. He can work a segment or two. And it still keeps him strong. But I do believe that he probably will get replaced by Adam Page, because I don't think that AEW would. I don't think they would allow that. I don't think that they are unsafe. I don't think that Tony's an unsafe guy to overwork his talent. And I don't think that they'll put themselves in that type of predicament. However, they might be trying to one up Cody and be like, I can do it too. So you never know. But I do expect Adam Hangman Page to be inserted into this. I just think this was a really good segment. They toyed with Moxley. They toyed with him about the screwdriver, because he's been busting people open with all types of things, forks, screwdrivers, pliers, whatever he can get his hands on, and he was ready for his destiny. He was sitting in the corner saying, come on, give it to me. I thought that was dope. The match, trash. Segment, great. Your thoughts on this?
Listen. How can I say this? I still hate Kenny Omega because y'all all like him, but damn it, he's good.
That man is a wrestling god. No Baron Corbin, no JBL.
No Bill Baron Corbin for sure. But it was needed. And then, like you said, you knew he was coming back with somebody. You heard me say it. I couldn't believe I said that out of my damn mouth. I said, oh, it's a Super Kick party. Yeah. Oh, shit. I said that out loud. I did. I really did. Because I was excited to see the Bucks come back. You know what I'm saying? It was a good segment. It was a good, at the end, like you said, it was all about, again, it's about the storyline. And some of the problems that AEW has sometimes is the continuity with storyline, but that one went pretty well. I loved it. Everything about that segment, I loved it. Like you said, this was a squash match from the beginning, just to get you to where we got to. And it did a very good job transitioning into that. Kenny Omega can wrestle his ass off. He just needs take the control from him, I believe, and he'd be great. But his matches are tremendous. Can't take that from him, and the Bucks are the Bucks. So
yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited for what they have building with that.
Shit, my eyebrows look good.
Mm-hmm, touched them up with that razor, huh? I noticed. Yeah,
ain't no razor, but I'm just getting better with them clippers.
Them clippers.
When you realize, you say to yourself, "Self, I'm gonna stop paying for a barber." You gotta get good at it. You just can't be doing all normal bullshit.
So, or you can just wear hats like me, so I don't give a fuck. But I'm about to shave all this shit off. I'm about to give me a Mike Knox baldy.
I live in Florida. I have a closet full of hats I can't wear no more. I swept the brim out. It's too damn hot. You don't wear a damn hat. Unless it's nighttime or raining, you ain't wearing no hat down here.
Next up, we had Riho and Sky Blue.
Ruby, so hot. Come on, sing along with the mic.
Versus the Outcasts. Ruby Soho and quite possibly the fattest booty in wrestling, period, in Toni Storm, who's picking up that Rhino weight right now, that NXT weight that she used to have. You know what? Everybody talks about what's her name? Veronica Lopez? Veronica Perez. Was that her name from NXT? Right?
Yeah, those skateboards.
AEW has their own prodigy in Sky Blue.
Yeah.
She's like 2021. She has, I read this earlier today, she has an exclusive AEW deal. Her deal is something else. So I decided to dig a little deeper in her Instagram. She got like a modeling type job. Like boudoir type deal. So she's got a special little deal going on. That's why her AEW deal is, I mean, cool. Get her and Anna Jay and Toni Storm and whoever else y'all can rock out with your ass out. But this match here, it was okay. It was okay. It wasn't, I mean, this is to promote the war between the, I guess, homegrown and the...
The outcast.
I mean, everybody, damn near everybody that comes in AEW is an outcast. So, I mean, this was really just to help. I think that this was just to help keep Hayter and Britt Baker very strong because they got shellacked last week. This also keeps the eye. It keeps the eye strong on Riho and Sky Blue. Riho, I understand. She's great. She looks like she's 12. It's hard to keep her. It's hard to keep, you know, it's hard. Like, at some point as wrestling fans, we need to have some believability. She's like 4'11". It takes like two of my sons to equal her height. Like, she doesn't seem like a viable opponent.
My youngest is taller than her.
Yeah, see? She's like 4'11", 5'1", maybe, tops.
Oh, shit, I'm talking more than you.
5'2". I give her 5'2". And she's, what, Chinese? But Toni Storm, one of Toni Storm's ass cheeks weighs more than that girl. But you trying to tell me that she's, like, supposed to be a viable opponent. That's the only thing that I don't like about this rivalry. However, I do like Sky Blue. I think that I've liked her since I've seen her debut on Rampage. I think she has something special. If they can follow the formula of what they've been doing with Roxanna Perez over at NXT and apply it to a Sky Blue, I think that they have something as far as homegrown in their hands. I think they have something really good. I think that Ruby is finally finding her niche with this company. And it's never been to be the baby face. She's always a anti-baby face or 100% heel or anti-heel, which is the tweener. And she plays that role very well. The dynamic that is so great about this is we get a Saraya we've seen her do pretty much just all babyface stuff, even with Absolution, even though they were kind of heelish, everybody loved them still. Like, you got Mandy Rose, you got Daddy DeVille, you got Paige, who just came off of a sex tape run. Like, come on. It's kind of hard to hate that. It's kind of hard to hate her bouncing on a dirt, you know?
Bitch, shut up before I kick you in the face again. Nobody gives a damn about that karate shit. What?
That's great. So what did you think about this segment here? Because before you go, Bleacher Report gave this a B-. I would say it was a C in my book, but to each is their own. So,
well, people say what they can't say. They're getting them back doors, getting them interviews, and that's fine. I'm going to keep it a bell. I'm going to keep it a buck. I don't give two shits about none of these girls. I can watch AEW. I can be optimistic about AEW, but some things, like it would be the other companies, I got to be honest with them. This is Ruby Soho. I agree with you. She has found her niche. I think she fits here. I think she fits here fine. I'm not sure about Toni Storm anymore. And Paige Saraya is not who she used to be, which I've always thought she was overrated in the first place. This match to me was about the other girls in this match and the one they're promoting and so forth. But to me, this match, can I give it a B? We're going off of what the match was rating and the match in itself. Actually, I was impressed. I thought all girls did really good. I'm being honest, because what I hate the most about wrestling in general, especially a lot of female wrestling, you could see them talking. And I was a conversation I had, somebody said, no, they blamed the cameraman for being so close during WrestleMania. You can hear all the talk. I'm like, nah, that's not the talking in wrestling. That's wrestling. It's, we know what it is.
The cameraman don't know they're going to talk.
Yeah. So you, But this night, they did a really good job in the ring. And I give them credit for that. I give them credit. Ruby, I never say Ruby Soho couldn't wrestle. I never said Tori and Storm couldn't wrestle. Right? I say Sheree is overrated. But all the other four girls involved in this, tremendous work.
All right, we got about 8 minutes left before we close the show out, and this has been a great show so far. We literally have been breezing through the show, and I appreciate everybody for stopping by with your comments, your likes, your shares. Just make sure you like, share, subscribe. I'm not asking you to pay for a platter. I'm not asking you to buy my beanie, baby. I'm not asking for anything. Ooh, I'm just asking you to hit the share button. Listen, Beanie Babies are still a thing. I told my mom, she got a shed. She got like three cases left. She got like three big totes that used to put summer and winter clothes in the off season. She's got like three. Man, listen, she's got some money in there. Beanie Babies. I was watching. I was watching Dark Side of the 90s. Dark Side of the 90s, and they was talking about the Beanie Baby craze. I tried to tell my mom, but again, people, like I'm saying, she's like, share, subscribe, like. Help us help you. You want more wrestling content? You want more with your boys on there? Help me help you. That's all I'm saying. I'm not asking y'all to, you know, I'm not asking you to buy no cakes, no pies, no platters. I ain't asking you to go listen to my music. In which everybody got a rapper on their friends list, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. That always tags you in their music, and the music be trash, but you haven't liked any of their shit, but you be like, yeah, it was good. Everybody. But going into the main event.
Look at them titties.
Titties! Ass.
Titties and nipples. That's all I see.
We talked about the beginning of this feud that started literally makeshift last week. It was just weird. Yeah, you dropped the ball, Tony. I don't like Keith Lee's look. Just get the Just for Men. Walt Frazier did it. He's the spokesperson for it. Just go ahead, dab. Come on, man. Come on, dab that shit in there, man. Dab it in there.
That gray go all the way.
All the way, man. Somebody, Mia Yam, was supposed to tell him let it go.
She must like that shit. So that's
she must. Matter. She must do because she ain't doing nothing.
You wear tight jeans. He said the bitches like it. I said, okay.
Listen. Skinny jeans were, you know, very uncomfortable. But after like two or three uses of them, it's like cool, all right. But then it makes me uncomfortable because you kind of get sexualized. I don't want to get sexualized. They're comfortable for me now.
I can't wear gray sweatpants without getting sexualized.
Yeah, I don't even understand that. Like, I don't understand how do women sexualize sweatpants?
Right, like, yeah, like
if let me I ask my, hold on, let me ask my girl,
babe. How do you women sexualize men wearing gray sweatpants? That's disrespectful.
We're not pieces of meat.
We ain't doing nothing. We're not pieces
men
of meat.
Sexualize women all the time. Neither are we.
Oh my gosh, yeah, she about to get on the Me Too movement.
Shit right there.
This match, I did not care for it. I love Jericho. Keith Lee's okay. I feel like he's taking a big step back from what we know from him, what we thought we could have got with him versus a Brock Lesnar.
Because that's his guy.
Keith Lee?
Keith Lee is his nephew Kurt's favorite wrestler off the indie scene. All you ever heard from years and years. Well, he gets to WWE. He got there.
What'd he do? He should have. If what the rumors were, and Vince told him to lose that weight, he should have lost it because he would have got a just as big push as Gunther.
There it is. So that's my thing with Keith Lee and this whole thing. And again, I said it starting off.
I get that they came out of an interview and said that he had a couple of health issues and is scared.
I get that. And I'm like, I'm here for that. But
that's probably how he gained more weight.
You still got to take control of your own craft. Let's just cross-reference here to the NBA. We talked about it earlier tonight about Zion Williams and the weight he's gained. That's Zion's fault. That's not his team's fault. When it comes to gimmicks, when it comes to whatever, it's up to them. I don't care what nobody say. Look at Cody, for example. Cody was given some of the worst gimmicks that people thought he made it work. Jericho has had some of the worst gimmicks ever. He's made them work. You think that whole less shit was supposed to get over? No, it got over because you have to work the gimmick. What is Keith Lee's gimmick? It's the same thing I have down here with Swerve. What is Swerve's gimmick? It's Swerve Killmonger?
Like, what is their gimmicks?
That's kind of dope, though. That's a good analogy. That is really a good analogy.
That's not how it's like he's Killmonger.
I would say he's coming off very entitled. But the fact that I forgot to touch on it. He was in a backstage segment. Still didn't put his shoe on. Still didn't put his damn boot on, and said he had some unfinished business to handle. At that moment, I knew exactly what he was talking about. The reason why I just don't understand why is because nobody cares anymore about this feud.
For him and Keith Lee.
Yeah. Yeah. No, nobody cares anymore.
Again, I'm not. And this one, I'm not going to blame AEW for. I'm blaming the talent. And it pains me to say
you
that.
Have to make us care.
You have to make us care, yo. You have to make us care. And Keith Lee has not made me care. And Swerve Strickland, who is... I say certain things to me sometimes. And now every time I think I'm going to say something, you and EC comes in my head. But Swerve Strickland is one of the greatest wrestlers I've ever seen in a squared circle with the things that he can do at his height. He just really... I loved watching him when he was in MLW. Remember, I talked about him. I was like, man, when this guy comes up. And then he gets up. And the same thing with Keith Lee. It's like, I heard so many great things. You could see the greatness in Keith Lee. When Jericho can't bring out greatness in you, that's a problem. We're talking about one of the greatest of all time. Okay? I don't care where you rank him at. It's in a rank him kind of program or show. But Jericho's an all-time fucking great. Okay? And this match, I'm sitting here like this. And that's your main event. You could have had the Beatdown Club come on last, and end with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. As far as I'm concerned, this shouldn't have been your main event, especially when it came when it got makeshift made on Rampage, right? And Jericho's reason for being mad at all is because what's his name brought the street. He's mad at Adam Cole Bay because he celebrated in the ring with his girl. This is his match back, Jericho. Storylines make it make sense, Tony. That's all I'm saying, Tony. I love you. I sent one of my backstage passes for London. Yes, Negro. Backstage passes. That's all I gotta say about this segment. It was a good night overall, though.
I thought it was a much better night. As opposed to last week when I did I didn't like it at all. But this week I will say this kept me entertained. I saw more storytelling this week than I did last week. And it actually kept me intrigued. And that's the most important thing I feel with AEW is I need to be intrigued. I know I'm going to get action. I know I'm going to get some sort of excitement. Whether or not it excites me or not remains to be seen. However, it is exciting wrestling. This is good. For me, this is a B-plus show. I got some action. I got some storytelling. I got some comedy. I got sex appeal. I got everything I want in the greatest movie that I could ever want to watch. What do you mean? I got Ruby Soho. I got Tony Storm. I got Sky Blue.
I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm saying.
Oh.
You know, I was in agreement with you.
Oh, okay.
In that one. I say this much, though. Even about the comment that was up there. As I said, it's up to the wrestlers to make the gimmick work. For what it's worth, remember Malachi?
Malachi. Wait.
Mordecai.
Mordecai, okay, Mordecai. All white, he was supposed to be the Undertaker's...
I thought that worked, right? And that one gimmick did not ruin Keith Lee. Keith Lee came AEW, so had the huge falling. People wanted Keith Lee. People want Keith Lee. It's Keith Lee. At some point, wrestling fans, it ain't the company's freaking fault. It's not always the
cover. It's definitely because how can a Cody Rhodes take a shitty thing like Stardust and mold it to gold?
No offense. How do you take a shitty thing like fucking Darby Allin's character should not work, but it does. That's what I'm saying. I hated your boy Ricky Starks at first. I did think he was a wish version of The Rock. But I've come to see him and what he's trying to accomplish, and he makes it work. Orange Cassidy makes it work. Keith Lee does not make it work. This is a true case of he got the check. What they call it? He got the bag.
Got the bag.
He got the bag and he went home. Okay, he's eating good.
That boy got the bag.
Okay, I mean, I like Popeyes. I like beignets. Okay, but you know what I'm doing these days, Dice? Because I'm in the hospital. I'm drinking water. Somebody put Keith Lee's ass on some damn Atkins. Call Jenny fucking Craig. Call somebody. The man needs to lose fucking weight. He is too athletic. To be that guy.
Somebody better tell Mia Yams to get him on that hotline. Shit.
That's not even her name no more. They changed her name too.
Meacham.
I don't even know what the fuck that even means. Fuck,
it means that bitch or some shit. I forgot. She's been saying it for a while. Catch them all. Before we get out of here, I just want to let you guys know that if you enjoyed today's show, please tune in next week. If you can't wait till next Wednesday to get your Almighty Dive Man fix, fear not! You can catch me on Sunday at 11 a.m. with my partner, Stefan, on Sundays with SSWWUZ, the Raw and SmackDown Week in Review, 11 a.m. Catch your boy. I am on here. I am working. I promise you. And I'm not giving out no platters. I just want you to hit that like, share, subscribe button. That's all I need in my life. Mr. Knox, anything you want to let the people know before we sign off out of here?
Just make sure you guys continue to follow Unpopular Review. We thank you from Mike Knox Show to the NXT Show to this AEW Review to Top Fives on... Shoot, we don't even have a Top Five for this week. It's supposed to be tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
If you're into movies and entertainment, Unpopular Review Entertainment is there for you as well. Right now, they're doing Gotham Knights Review. They just posted earlier today. So if you've watched Gotham Knights, go back and check that review out as well if you're a fan of that show. And so forth. You name it, we're doing it, man. Just come support Unpopular Review, like my man over here said. We're not actually to buy, you know, Sunday dinners. Like, follow, and subscribe. All right, you like and subscribe to people who don't even know who the hell you are. We do. So go ahead and do that for us. All right. So I'm good.
Yes, sir. So
I'm gonna get my team of stream on. I told you that.
That is Mr. Knox. I am the Z is Solid. And as my guy, Shannon Sharp, likes to say, if I make a fried chicken and someone says I got some chocolate for you, what the fuck I want to go with the chocolate go with the fried chicken for? Don't nobody know what it means, but it sounds great. I am the Almighty Dice Man. That is Mr. Knox. Live life, love life. God is love. Rev, run. We're out of here. Peace.